Coming at you from the AO Studios, it's the Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming at you live from Orlando, Florida, it's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D, and we've got a great show for you this morning. The Dodgers take home the World Series. The Yankees look to see what's going to happen tomorrow, and Wembanyama gets a 5-by-5 game, whatever that means. But we'll begin today's show with the World Series. It's over. The Dodgers won Game 5 in Yankee Stadium 7-6 and take the World Series 4-1. The Yankees were winning 5-0 early in the game, but had a dreadful fifth inning, which saw errors by Judge and Volpe. Gerrit Cole also failed to cover first base on a ground ball hit to first base, which made the inning continue. So, Z, which of those errors or mishaps led to the Yankees' demise in Game 5?
Well, first and foremost, we're on the road. Well, some of us are on the road. The AO Studios, still live and in effect in New York, representing in Florida. Now we're going in two states. But congratulations to the Dodgers. They seriously took care of business. They handily took care of the Yankees in five. And the Dodgers did what the Dodgers do, right? We saw in the Mets series, they make you make mistakes. They wear you out. They spread you thin, and then they pounce. The one saving grace is that the Yankees didn't get they didn't get double digits four times. So there was that. So they had a little bit more left in the bullpen tank than the Mets did. But let's talk about that that fifth inning. Forget the game. Like, the fifth inning is the microcosm of the Yankee season. You have Gerrit Cole cruising, doing a no-hitter up until that point. From no-hitter to completely falling apart in the span of 17 minutes. Everything looks fine. Judge, maybe losing the lights, clank. Those things happen. Volpe, make a better throw. He actually gets Kike Hernandez at third base. So there was definitely an opportunity there. Was it a bad decision? Yeah, you're probably better off just eating it. Because you don't have a shot at first base. You have to make a perfect throw to get the runner at third. And he did not. He yanked it. And then the biggest one for me. Easily. Judge opened the door, but Gerrit Cole is the one who kicked it open all the way.
Yeah.
It's a ground ball to first base. It's a cue shot. So you see it spinning. Like, you see that Rizzo is charging at one angle, has to reach in another direction to get the ball. He's already off balance. Couple that with the fact that Mookie Betts is running. It's not like Freeman on one leg is running. Mookie Betts is running. So he's fast. For Gerrit Cole to start buffering and forget to cover first base or telling Rizzo to take it himself, that's inexcusable. That's absolutely inexcusable. You are, without a doubt, the leader of this pitching staff. You are, without a doubt, the ace of the staff. And for you to have a brain fart of that magnitude on the biggest stage of the season for your team, that's pretty bad. And to see these supporters on X and social media blaming Rizzo. Oh, charge the ball. Tell me you've never played first base without telling me you've never played first base. You don't understand how spin works, apparently. He charges the ball. It scoots by him. And where's Glaber? Glaber is in his own world. Because I guarantee you he's not covering. He's not backing up. Because he wasn't. Right. He wasn't moving. Right. Glaber didn't move. So, Judges started the party. But Cole brought the keg.
Yeah.
Cole absolutely brought the keg.
Yeah, I mean, I think I think Rizzo had all intensive purposes of getting the ball and bringing it to first, but at one point, like you said, the spin changed, and he had to stop and reach backward, and at that point, he was never going to make it to first. But you're taught as a pitcher that when it's hit to first base, to cover the base, go over, run over, over. You know, you always say that, and he took for granted what Rizzo has been doing all season, and he was probably tired. I'll give Garrett Cole that. He probably was a little tired. He was probably a little frustrated too. But dude, you've got to carry it all the way through. And that ultimately, you know, kind of ended his night, right? The Judge play, you know, as bad as Judge is in the postseason, I wasn't really too upset about that. You could see he took his eyes off the ball when you really looked in on it. And it, yeah, I mean, listen, it's not easy playing center field. And when it gets lost in the lights, it gets lost in the lights. He took his eyes off the ball. That's why the ball fell. But that was one runner getting on first. That to me wasn't, it was a bad play. I mean, they're out of it, but I'm not mad at him about it. Volpe, I thought Volpe's play was a good play, actually. I thought that was the right play to make. I mean, he had, like you said, a good throw has him. He rushed it a bit, I think, and he had to. But I don't, you know, and I know Volpe won the Gold Glove last year, and he's, you know, he's obviously their shortstop for forever, but I don't actually love him as a shortstop. I think he has awful range. I don't think he's a very good shortstop. I don't think he's a very good fielder, because I think any average Joe shortstop could have made that play, and he didn't. That play, I think, is a little worse than the Judge play. But yeah, like you said, Garrett Cole brought the keg. I mean, that really just ended it. You know, that was it right there.
And you can't do that with the Dodgers, man. We saw how many times do we have to see it with the Dodgers. You can't do it.
You can't do it against the Dodgers. You can't do it in the World Series. Like, there's a whole myriad of things, right?
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, just to talk about this Yankees team a little bit more. I mean, when you look at it as a whole, I'm surprised they got by with, like, Chisholm playing third, because even his third base, like, yeah, when the ball was hit to him, he definitely made the play to first, and he's not a third baseman. Like, he doesn't know the coverages, right? He doesn't know what he's supposed to do when the ball's hit to right field. He doesn't know what he's supposed to do when the ball's hit on the infield. Like, he doesn't know how far off the base he's supposed to go and things like that. Like, It was a Band-Aid over a shit situation, right? Like, it wasn't sustainable. The other part is like, you know, we've talked about it in the past. Like, when Alex Rodriguez came to the Yankees, Derek Jeter's like, I'm not fucking moving to second base. You know, and he's like, I'm not playing third. I'm playing shortstop. I don't give a shit. And I gave him a lot of shit for that, because A-Rod was the best shortstop in the league. And he came over and he moved to third base. And he actually became one of the best third basemen in the league. But here you have Juan Soto, who's probably the best, you know, player on their team. He comes over and he's like, I'm playing right field. Like, he didn't say it, but they put him in right field. And Judge was playing center field. And let's be honest, Z, like, he's not a center fielder. He's a right fielder. And at some point, he's probably going to have to be a first baseman. Does Juan Soto make that play? I think so. Like, I think he does. I don't know, man.
Juan Soto had a couple of really questionable plays in right field. Like the Tommy Canley Otani changeup in the first game. Juan Soto probably could have reached out and caught that ball. He was a little conservative. And there were a couple of other instances where it was just either a bad throw or kind of clanking the ball around. Juan Soto, you see a lot of warts in Juan Soto. Like, he's a great player. He's a great player, but he's also not perfect. He's not a perfect player.
Yeah, I agree. He did have some bad throws, but I mean, in my opinion, I enjoyed playing. I thought center field was an easier position to play than right field. I thought right field was a little harder, especially when a left-handed hitter came up. But I'm just saying, like, listen, the team made it to the World Series. The team had, you know, the best record in the American League. I mean, they were served up a platter of easy opponents in the playoffs, which that's not their fault. They beat who was in front of them. But ultimately, they went up against a team, right, that was built for the moment. Like, this team, they have a higher payroll. They had better players. They had better positional players. They had better hitters. They had everything that, you know, they needed to win the World Series, and they did. And you know that, and that kind of just brings us over to, you know, the Dodgers. You know, the Dodgers won this year with their B team. Ohtani, Glasnow, Kershaw, and Gosselin, they're all hurt this year. Hernandez is likely leaving on free agency, but Soto is available. So will the Dodgers be back is the question.
In my opinion, it's way too early to discuss whether or not the Dodgers and Yankees will be back. I mean, we have players filing for free agency. We still have players with options that need to be decided. Like Sean Manaea has his contract option on Monday. He may or may not become a free agent. You're looking at, you know, a guy like Blake Snell. We'll talk about him later. He opted out of his deal. Garrett Cole has an opt out on his deal.
Get out of here. I did not know that.
He does. But the Yankees can void his opt out if they guarantee him a 2029 contract. It's, I think it's like $36 million. Mm. So if they add $36 million to the contract, they void his opt out. Wow. But it is there. But you're looking, you know, you're flooding the market with guys right now. Freeman, like, he had a rough year battling injuries and personal issues. Like, I understand Freddie Freeman is a gamer, and he's an MVP of the World Series, and he's a stud player. But I wouldn't blame him if he decided to walk away for a while, you know? So, okay. Like, he, you know, who's to say? You sure. Feel you throw a blank check at Pete Alonso or Christian Walker, you're still good. You know, you let Kike Hernandez go. You'll probably get Kike Hernandez back because he's proven that wherever he goes, he always ends up back with the Dodgers. Some guys are just built for certain teams. And Kike Hernandez, I think he learned from the Boston situation that he is better served being in Dodger blue. The Dodgers, they're gonna. We already know it. They're going to go after Juan Soto because this is their model. This is who they are as people. They're going to have to replace Teoscar Hernandez.
Yep.
Unless Teoscar decides to stay. And he played
unlikely.
Right. He played well enough that he's going to go get paid. He earned a contract. Mm-hmm. Now, whether that's in Queens, if he goes back to Toronto, if he goes to the Yankees because they have to replace Atlanta. Alex Verdugo or Atlanta. You know, you have options. If you're Teoscar Hernandez, the world is your oyster. You can go to fucking Houston if you wanted to.
Yep, absolutely.
So, you know, you replace Teoscar Hernandez with Juan Soto. You now have a starting outfield of Betts, Soto, and right, and take your pick. You know, they got by. They got by with, like, Chris Taylor played center field for a while this year. So, I mean, Dave Roberts can come out of retirement and be a player manager. And I think they would be fine in that instance. But the Dodgers are dead set on outspending the market. Flaherty's a free agent. He was inconsistent. I think that they might let him go.
Yeah, definitely let him go.
Bueller. Now, you and I are at odds on Bueller. I know that you're very high on Walker Bueller. I am more cautious because of his injury history, his recent injury history. He looked great against the Yankees in the ninth inning. He looked great against the Yankees in his start.
Yeah,
but he was 1-6 on the year, and he did miss a bunch of time.
So yeah, he was pretty awful. No, he was pretty awful actually. And I like the Walker Bueller that we saw in the World Series. I mean, that's the guy that I remember. But I agree. I mean, two Tommy John surgeries, and it took him really all year to figure it out. And you just wonder if he comes back, if he's still going to have that drive, because obviously it's going to take a lot to keep him going.
Completely.
Yeah, go ahead.
Then you have Blake Treinen, like the stud in your bullpen. He's 37. He's a free agent too. I mean, Kiermaier and Hudson already retired. So, like, you don't have to worry about them. Then you have Joe Kelly. Joe Kelly you can probably let walk. Like, Joe Kelly didn't even play. So, you know, I think you got to re-up Treinen at least on a one-year deal. Kike's probably going to stay. If Teoscar Hernandez is also 6 years older than Juan Soto. So, I don't know. He's not going to get the years. He's not going to get the money he's probably looking for. Like, at 32, he's probably looking at a 6-year deal, maybe. Yeah, something like 6 years,
$200 million, I think, right?
Yeah, as opposed to a 10 or 12 year deal worth $625 million, and we'll start at $625 million.
No, we're not starting at we're starting at 800, and it's probably going to go down to 700. That's where it's going to go.
It's got to go down a lot more than that. I mean, Juan Soto doesn't pitch. It's got to go down way past Ohtani.
I get it. But if you're a team, you're looking at this guy. He's 26 years old. He's already got one World Series. He's been to another one. You're going to build your team around him. That's what you're going to do. Like if you're a team like the Cubs, or you're a team like even the Mariners. I know he's not going to be a Mariner, but I'm just saying, like, you're looking to build your team around him because you're getting him, believe it or not, you're going to be getting him at a bargain for the next 6 to 7 years. And then he's going to really probably be out, you know, being a bargain deal once you get into year six, year seven. And at that time, he's going to be 32, 33 years old, which is supposed to be the prime, right?
Yeah,
I mean, listen, I agree with you. I think it's ridiculous, but that's where we're at. As far as the Dodgers coming back, I mean, listen, they are the Yankees of the late 90s and early 2000s. They spend more money than everybody. Everybody wants to be a Dodger. This is the par for the course for the next, I don't know, X amount of years. They have the money. They have the funds. It's a given. They're going to be there. They're going to be there. There's no way they're not in the National League Championship Series. Especially, like I said, they're going to have Ohtani coming back. He's going to be, you know, being a pitcher now. He's probably going to be their best pitcher.
Yeah, think about that rotation. You have Ohtani, Yamamoto, maybe Kershaw, Glasnow, and take your pick for the fifth.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. And then hitting-wise...
If they keep Bueller...
And hitting wise, you know, Freddie might have to walk away for a bit, but if he doesn't, he's Freddie fucking Freeman. And then you have Ohtani, and then you have Betts, like, and they're gonna go get another guy. They're definitely gonna get another guy. If it's not Soto, it's Bregman. It's somebody. They're gonna get somebody else, man. There's not a doubt in my mind. And they're gonna be there, and they're gonna be a problem. And I don't know who beats them. I don't know if the Braves can do it. I don't know who could beat them. I don't know. But all I know is that they're going to be there. They're going to be a problem, and that's just the facts, man.
It is. But let's talk about the Yankees real quick. We talked about all the Dodgers and really not that many free agents, right? They have
No, yeah, you're right. Let's talk about this cuz the story's always in the losers got locker room, right? It's like, where do the Yankees go from here? You know, Gleyber, Holmes, Soto, they're all free agents. Stanton's another year older, and Boone's in the final year of his contract. Where do they go? I don't know where they go.
I mean, So you have Soto, like that's the question of the day, right? Like, where is he going to go?
He's the carrot. He's the carrot at the end of the road, man. Like, all 30 teams are going to be chasing this motherfucker.
According to John Heyman, a dozen teams have already checked in on Juan Soto. So yeah. There you go. He has more of a bidding war.
He said he's going to talk to all 30 teams, and I believe him. I believe him.
You really think he's taking a call from Oakland or yeah. Sacramento, wherever 100%. Whatever the fuck they're on?
The Rays? Yep.
Yeah.
Taking a call from everybody.
You take the call, but that doesn't mean you have to schedule a meeting.
Well, some people wouldn't even take the call. You know that.
That's true. And Ohtani, like, he had a friggin' sweepstakes.
That's right.
That's true. The first go around. But you're looking at Soto, you're looking at Gleyber, you're looking at Clay Holmes, Tommy Cainley. So
I think they're all gone. Gleyber actually played well down the stretch of the season, and he actually played well in the postseason. Somebody's gonna pay him. Because they're gonna pay him based on that. They're gonna say, okay, he does have the ability. If we can get him to buy in, we can get a strong second baseman. I can. He played that well where he's going to get an offer.
But then again, you also need to live with the head up your ass play that is indicative of Gleyber Torres. Like, go back to game one. Juan Soto with that at bat by Ohtani, Juan Soto kind of clanked it around a little bit. Then he didn't throw a line drive in. He threw a short hop in, and Gleyber just let it bounce off him, and it gave Ohtani the extra base. Like, that's the kind of stuff you live with when you deal with Gleyber Torres. Right,
exactly. They're all going to believe that they can fix him, change him, and make him better. But the bottom line is the guy can hit. when his mind is right. Right. Yeah.
And you and I are at different odds at this as well. Like, I think the Yankees need to cut a blank check and keep Soto. Like, he was a huge difference maker for them. I think that if no, they...
I don't disagree with you. I agree with you, but I just don't think they're going to do it. I just don't think they're going to do it because they have a new philosophy over on 161st Street and River Avenue. They don't want to pay the luxury tax. And they don't want to pay guys. They don't want to pay multiple guys. Like, that's just their philosophy. I agree with you. I don't know where this team is without him, but they have a lot of other issues, right? Like, Chisholm can't play third base.
But if Glaber goes, they can move him to second. So they actually set themselves up nicely for this year. In that, and he's a pretty good second baseman. And even if they wanted to move Judge out of center field, Chisholm played center field for the Marlins. So it was actually a kind of a coup that they were able to get him. They just couldn't get Glaber to buy into moving to third base, I think. And you kind of had to live with that. And Chisholm wasn't bad. Like, Chisholm wasn't like a butcher. He was a guy learning on the job, in my opinion. But I think that they'll be set up the middle with Volpe and Chisholm for a while. The question becomes third base. Now, you think Alex Bregman, Nolan Arenado's available. Do you trade for Nolan Arenado instead of investing big money in Alex Bregman is the question.
Yes, yes. Yes, you do. If that's available, you jump on Nolan Arenado. Then they become a much, much more formidable team.
They do. Absolutely. And, you know, they desperately need a guy that has good fundamental skill. Because, you know, fundamentals are something that the Yankees clearly lack. But we only talked about two of the four top guys. Verdugo's not going to be there, so you need to replace your left fielder. Tim Hill, who actually turned out to be one of their best relievers in the World Series, he's gone. You probably re-sign him on the cheap. Loaizaga is a free agent. They have a decision to make on Rizzo. Do you bring Anthony Rizzo back? And if you don't bring Anthony Rizzo back, who's your first baseman moving forward?
Yeah, I would say bring him back. His presence in the locker room alone is worth it. You know, you're not going to be star studded at every position. You know, it's just not going to happen. So I would say bring his ass back. Let LeMahieu retire. that shit's gone. He's donezo. I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe they can try to get Teoscar Hernandez. That's more of like a Gary Sheffield play, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, actually, older.
For the Yankees or the Mets, Teoscar Hernandez would play very well in New York.
Yeah, the Mets are going to blow their load on Soto. They're going to give him whatever he wants. I find it hard to believe Juan Soto plays for any other team but the Mets. If it's about money, he's going to go play for the Mets. If it's not about money, then he has the option to go to a lot of other places. But Steve Cohen is going to write him the fattest check. That's for damn sure. He's not a doubt in my mind. But if he wants other things, like, I don't know how he feels about playing in Queens. I don't know how he feels about playing for the B team in New York. I don't know. Like, that's the thing. I don't know. You know, I know he's not chasing championships. He's mentioned that he got one. He's like fine with it, you know? So now it's just about, you know, playing baseball.
So what you're saying to me is that Juan Soto is the Kevin Durant of baseball. Now he's just chasing experiences.
Chasing experiences? I don't know if he's chasing experiences, but he's just winning is not the most important thing to him because he won already. He won at 19 years old. He's like, I won. Like, you know, I just want to play baseball now. And Kevin Durant is just a very odd human being. Just a very, very odd human being.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, Juan Soto never initiated the super team conversation. So there's something that he's a joiner of a super team. He's not a guy who's going to create a super team. And then the Yankees have one more decision to make. They have a $2.5 million option on Luke Weaver. You got to give him a raise, man.
I think they already said they're going to be picking him up, but I don't know. They're going to have to figure out because Holmes is gone. I mean, he's not coming back.
You cannot bring Clay Holmes back.
But I don't know who's going to close games for them because Weaver. Well, I don't think Weaver could do it. So I don't know who's going to close their games. Their bullpen's a mess. Maybe they go into the Blake Snell sweepstakes. They need another pitcher. You know, it's the Rodon and Garrett Cole situation. Not going to cut it, man. I ain't going to cut it.
Now, the intriguing thing is we've seen on they're on record, the Texas Rangers, that they're blowing it up already. Like they're trying to move their high priced talent on that team. So maybe you call about a Seager or a Simeon. If you were willing, if they're willing to eat some money, you might be able to facilitate that trade. If you're the Yankees, you may also be able to facilitate a DeGrom trade. So if it's all about the willingness of the Rangers to eat the salary. Now, I know Met fans online are not exactly thrilled. Some are like, yeah, bring Jake home. The other one's like, he left. Let it go. You're like a stalker ex. Please don't do that. But, you know, teams are going to blow themselves up, too, chasing the Dodger model. I think that's something that we also need to take into account. And the Rangers could be primed for picking here. Could you imagine, like, Corey Seager in the short porch in Yankee Stadium?
Yeah, I think that's actually something the Yankees should explore. I was actually surprised that they didn't go after him in, you know, free agency. But I think part of that was is they had this really high belief in Volpe. But I don't know. I don't know how they view Volpe. I look at him as a flawed baseball player. I don't really look at him as – I'm not trying to compare him to Jeter. I'm just saying I don't – he doesn't do anything for me. Like – he's whatever. He's just another shortstop. Where Corey Seager gets hurt a lot, but he was also World Series MVP. He's a lefty bat. And the dude's a stud baseball player. Like, he's a stud baseball player. So I think that it would behoove the Yankees to explore that trade and start to realize that some of these young, talented guys that you've been holding on to for years are not that great. They're not that great. Like, you look at Volpe now, you've seen him for 2 years now. Are you looking at him, Z, and saying, man, thank God we kept that guy? Like, are you feeling that way? Are you like, man, we were offered, how did we not take that offer? You know what I mean?
I think he's a solid baseball player. Solid is fine. Like, you can work with solid. I can work with solid. What I can't work with is prospect hugging. And Brian Cashman is... he has become the ultimate prospect hugger, right? Oh, we can't move Chance Adams. We can't move Miguel Andujar. We can't move Clint Frazier. We won't bring them up and let them play, but we won't move them either.
Yeah.
So that is who Brian Cashman has become. And I wonder, is Spencer Jones that good? Is Jason Dominguez that good? Jason Dominguez is probably going to get his shot because Verdugo's gone. You know, and if the team is committed to being below the luxury tax, you're giving the Martian a shot. So I'm concerned. I'm legitimately concerned about the welfare of the Yankees farm system because, frankly, like, they're overrated. It's like the Dallas Cowboys. Their players are overrated. Why? Yeah. Because of the nature of the organization they play for. No fault of their own. Spencer Jones may very well be fantastic. We may never see him.
Yeah.
We may never fucking see this guy. He's like Sid Finch. Does he exist?
At least in a game that matters, right?
Right, right.
When owning a home, it's important to have heating and cooling professional available when things go wrong. AirCare Technicians is a veteran-owned HVAC company servicing the Westchester area. They are licensed to service, repair, maintenance, and replace all HVAC units. If your unit is not running properly or you would like to improve the air quality in your home, contact AirCare Technicians for a free quote. They offer same day and emergency services for all your needs. You can reach them at 914-315-1547. AirCare Technicians, 914-315-1547.
Speaking of a game that matters, I don't know if this game mattered or not, but trick or treat, it was probably a trick on many fans and a treat for the fans in attendance. The Jets won a football game on Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Which and I the had, hype, by the way.
Say again?
Which I had, by the way.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. When we get to our picks, you're the only one who had the Jets. Nice job. But that hype train, people are starting to get on board again. They lost to the Patriots with Drake May. Well, they lost without Drake May. And then with Jacoby Brissett. And then they somehow managed to defeat this Texans team without their two best wide receivers on Thursday night. And now everybody's all on board again. Like, Greeny must have whiplash with the amount of about-facing he's had to do. So did the win against the Texans on Thursday save the Jets' season?
Did save its season? I mean, listen, they're just in a mode right now where they pretty much have to win all their games, right?
Right.
So beating the Texans, which I had, because they just... The Texans don't match up well against the Jets, right? Because the Texans, they don't have depth. Nico Collins wasn't playing. Joe Mixon was having a grand old time running all over that fucking team. But they, you know, CJ Stroud is in his second year. He doesn't know how to play against the Jets, where other veteran quarterbacks handle that defense, you know, with no problem. So I mean, listen, they're going to make the playoffs. They're just going to make the playoffs. Everybody gets in now. It's seven teams. They're going to make the playoffs. But they have a cupcake schedule left. They should win. They have the Cardinals this next weekend. The Cardinals are not a world beater. They have the Colts, who are still trying to figure out who their quarterback's going to be. Then they have the Seahawks, where the Seahawks come here. Geno Smith, you better not lose to the Seahawks. The Jets finally got Tua back. The Dolphins finally got Tua back, but they're still struggling with their new offense and their new identity. The Jaguars are terrible. The Rams wide receivers are hurt all the time. The next real game of consequence they have is against the Bills on December 29th. Like, they don't have a tough schedule coming up. And the only problem ZIC is watching them is they've become way too dependent on the pass, right? And
yeah.
Which makes sense, because you have Aaron Rodgers. He's doing the old Peyton Manning thing. I ain't going to run the ball. I'm going to throw the ball. I got guys I can throw to all over this field, you know? And I think what also helped the Jets is Lazard is hurt. Lazard can't play. So we don't have to try to get Lazard the ball. And that changes everything, right? That really opens up everything for everybody else.
Garrett Wilson made that Odell Beckham catch.
Yeah,
actually, in play. It was in play for a touchdown. So that
and
one.
And they won the game.
They did. You know, there's something to be said for that. It wasn't called out of bounds. Because it actually counted. But, the problem with the Jets is that the expectations were so high and self-imposed, right? And then the media and their fans kind of, like, latched onto it and puffed their chest out. This team has won nothing. This team has done nothing.
The team is very up and down, right? Because you go to Foxborough and you lose a game where you knock their quarterback out, right?
Right.
Then you play home against a Texans team on a Thursday night that's coming in wounded. Like, they're hurt. They're beat up. And you still have yet to score more than 25 points a game. Every team in the NFL has scored more than 25 points in a game except for the New York Jets.
Even the Giants. And they stink. Yeah.
And I have a feeling that this game in Arizona next weekend is going to be a shootout. I think both teams are going to score a lot of points. And they might come out of that the winner. They might come out of that the loser. And the other thing is, if you watch the Jets offense, when Devontae Adams is on the field, other defenses are treating him as the number one. Even if he's lined up in the slot, they're treating him as he's in the number one, which is allowing Garrett Wilson to kind of do everything he wants. Now, what are they gonna? Is anybody gonna change that up? I don't know, because to me, we're holding them under 25 points by letting Adams be the one receiver. So it's right where we're right in striking distance, you know, and they're an undisciplined team and they have an old quarterback and it's going to start getting colder soon. So, I mean, it gives hope to the hopeless. I mean, that's what adding more playoff teams does. That's what adding more games does. It gives hope to a hopeless. A seller becomes a buyer, right? The same thing happened this year with the Mets, right? And they actually made it to the National League Championship Series. So it was well done for them. And that's why I'm telling you that the Jets are going to make the playoffs. They're in play. They're going to be in it for the rest of the season.
So here is where they are. They're 10th in the league right now. They're 10th in the AFC. They're going to have to jump the Bengals, who are suddenly playing better. They seem to be figuring it out. The Colts, they made the move to Joe Flacco. I think that is the move to make. Right? Mr. Richardson can, you know, refresh himself on the sideline. Yes, it's only like it's a ridiculously low amount of snaps to bench your future quarterback. But hey, you know what? Maybe this should be his redshirt year anyway. Maybe he needs to learn how to be an NFL quarterback. And you could learn under worse guys than Joe Flacco. Like, I expect the Dolphins to be better now that Tua is under center. Shit, I expect the Browns to be better with Jameis Winston under center. Like, I expect them to be better.
They look great.
Yeah. Like, they're in for a fight. The Jets are absolutely in for a fight. And if they're not ready for that fight will be taken to them, and they'll be out before December. Because, you know, the Cardinals, they're young, you know, but they're talented. The
Cardinals are going to run the ball.
Yeah, James Conner is going to run the ball down the throat.
James Conner is going to run the football. So you better get ready to play some run defense, because that shit you did on Thursday ain't going to work against
In successive weeks, you're going to go against Conner, probably Jonathan Taylor, Walker and Charbo, and then the two-headed monster in Miami. They are going to run the ball down your throat. There's a possibility that you end up being 0-4 there. But the key is the offense. You're absolutely right. They need to balance the attack. It can't be Green Bay. It just can't be a redux of Green Bay.
His ego won't let it happen. His ego won't let it happen. I've seen the same thing with Peyton Manning. His ego is not going to let it happen. When we need a first down, we're going to throw. I don't care. And then we'll call a run play. And I'll wink or throw a hand flash to Wilson or Adams, and I'm going to just throw it. And that's what they do. That's what he does.
Yeah. He let Edgerrin James die on the vine in Indy, man. Like, Peyton Manning let Edgerrin James die on the vine. And he went to the Cardinals to get playing time.
Yeah, I mean, it was just for Peyton, you know, it was all about me. Like, I can beat this defense. I know what they're in, and I know what they're doing, and it was more about like scoring touchdowns and getting downfield quicker, and it wasn't like just taking the check down or let's just run the play the offensive coordinator called. Like, no, he doesn't do that. And now with Aaron Rodgers, I mean, Hackett isn't even calling the plays anymore. No. You got the offense, you know, you got the quarterback coach calling the plays, and he ain't listening to him. He ain't gonna listen to him.
And let's be real here. He doesn't have Bakhtiari. He doesn't have Jeff Saturday. These are not his guys, right? They're good at run blocking. They're very good at run block. They can't pass block. This group does not pass block well. So why the fuck am I going to bang my head against the wall and continue to call passes when my line can't pass block? Like, it doesn't make any sense. It makes absolutely no sense. But hey, it's the Jets. We don't make sense is kind of part and parcel of what it means to be a Jet and a Jet fan.
Yeah, I mean, that's why they always say, like, Jet fans and Met fans are like the same. You know, you suffer and then there's glory, and it's just up and down. I mean, should they be doing backflips over beating the Texans? I think they should. I mean, the Texans were, I think, 6-2 come into that game, or, you know, they were a good team. So, you know, you should definitely be happy they came to your place and you beat them. You know, you just coming off of a loss to the Patriots in Foxborough, which was a dreadful game. I didn't watch it, but I heard it was an awful game to watch.
It was atrocious.
So, you know, you gotta keep building and keep getting better. And that's what I guess they're on their way to do.
Need some last-minute fantasy football advice? Then the boys at the Fade Route have you covered. Check out Red Light, Green Light 1-2-3 with D&Z every NFL Sunday, noon Eastern, during the regular season. D and I give you our top 1-2-3 fantasy starts or green lights, and our top 1-2-3 fantasy sits or red lights. That's red light, green light, 1-2-3 with D and Z every NFL Sunday, noon Eastern, during the regular season. That's red light, green light, 1-2-3 with D and Z.
Moving over to basketball, Victor Wembanyama recorded his second 5x5 game, becoming only the third player in NBA history to accomplish such a feat. Is that a big deal, little deal, or no deal?
I had to look up what a 5x5 game was.
So did I. I didn't know what the hell that was.
So apparently, this is at least 5 points, or at least 5 of 5 different categories. That is the... Yeah, so 5 steals, 5 blocks, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, and 5 points. or something like that. I don't think they count turnovers. If that was the case, then a lot of people would have this. So I'm guessing it's only positive statistics. But yeah, it's absolutely no deal. It's silly. What are we talking about here?
He's in a category with Hakeem Olajuwon and AK-47 Andrei Kirilenko.
Kirilenko.
What great company he's esteemed himself with there.
See, now that's, you know what, say what you will, Andrei Kirilenko was a solid NBA vet for years. And
sounds like a bad joke. It's like Hakeem Olajuwon, Andrei Kirilenko, and Victor Wembanyama walking to a bar.
It could have been worse. It could have been, if it was Stephen A, it would have been Slava Medvedenko. But yeah, this is absolutely no deal. What are we gonna laud him for next? He tied his shoes. Oh,
he pooed today.
Yay! This is not a deal, man. At least 5 in each category. So what you're telling me is that I have 5 points, 5 boards, 5 assists. Okay, the 5 blocks are impressive, and the 5 steals would be impressive.
For him, right?
For him. Yeah. 5 points, down night. 5 assists. Then, okay. All right. Yeah, I'll give you that one. He's a big man. He's not really going to – he's the focal point of that team. So if he's passing the ball, okay. Like, that's a thing. It's not a thing. It seems and it feels like a manufactured statistic just to give somebody a little goose, just to give them a little bit of – a reason to puff their chest out and say that they're better than they are. And there's a reason why, like, only, you know, guys like Nicholas Batum have gotten close, and Draymond Green and Nurkic. I think Derek Coleman single. Got close. So
quadruple single.
Yeah. Mr. Quadruple single. See, to me, that's more impressive, because you had to be so bad. That you could only get 1 of everything, or less than 10 in everything. So I don't know. I think it's
more of a hustler stat. I don't think it's something that superstars need to try to accomplish. I mean, I think it's impressive for him because of he touches so many different parts of the game, right? But if you're telling me LeBron James has never done it in his life, I'm like, all right, it kind of makes sense. I don't see, you know, how he's going to be getting 5 blocks in a game, right? And then if you tell, you know, Jordan, it's like, okay, yeah, I can see how he doesn't probably get 5 blocks in a game. Like, the blocks is the one that he's easily getting, right?
Yeah.
And then steals is impressive but look at his length. Like, you know, I think it's more impressive if somebody on the bench was to, you know, get this stat. Like, that's pretty impressive. If somebody comes off the bench and is able to manufacture that. Or, you know, somebody, like a role player, like, you know, a Jamal Crawford was to manufacture that in a game. But I expect this from him. I mean, he's a massive human being. So the blocks is a given. The points are a given. The steals, I'd say, is pretty impressive. I think the assists is also a given. Like, why aren't, you know, you're so large, passing the ball into the basket, or everybody converging on you, and then you kicking it to somebody who scores.
Yeah.
That kind of makes sense to me.
I don't know, the steals could be interesting, though, because we have to see the context in which they're done. If they're driving to the hoop and he just kind of rips it out of their hands versus intercepting a pass, like, that's, you know.
I would think it's intercepting a pass because of his damn wingspan. Like, he comes out of nowhere, man. Like, playing against that guy is a problem. It's not really easy.
Yeah, and that's my point. I don't think we need to do these fluff things. Like, Victor Wembanyama's good. We can appreciate him for what he is. Like, blocks and steals were not kept as statistics before 1972. If they apply blocks and statistics, if everybody went back and watched the film, which you could not do, like, how many other guys would have had 5x5 games? Like, I'm very interested to see. That would be a very interesting exercise to see who would qualify for this achievement, this air quote achievement. And at the end of the day, like, it's fluff. It's absolutely fluff. And I think fans are starting to recognize it too, because viewership is down right now. So I don't know if that's because of football. I don't know if that's because of the World Series. I don't know if it's, you know, just because of, like, the presidential election. I don't know. But NBA viewership is down right now. And I personally, I think it's because people are starting to realize that the play is not that good. But hey,
well, the play is not good, Z, and the regular season just doesn't fucking matter, right? It don't matter. Yeah. Like, the 76ers have showed us that it doesn't matter, right? That's part of our next story we're going to get to. The 76ers are tired of losing stars during the regular season and not having them at their peak performance in the playoffs. For this reason, the 76ers are taking it slow with Paul George and Joel Embiid getting started this season. Do you have an issue with the 76ers holding players out in October and November so they are ready to play in May and June?
Considering the fact there's no guarantee that these guys will actually be ready for May and June, it's kind of another no deal. Now, Joel Embiid is already on record saying he's never playing back-to-back games again.
I'm with him.
But how's that going to work with the league? How's that going to work? Because they do have to have that designation, right? There's because of the whole issue with load management, like...
He's pretty much taking himself out of like any MVP discussion. He's taking himself out of any kind of like, you know, he's not doing it. See, the thing is like you have messed up, right? You've messed up because you've devalued your regular season.
Yes.
And for the 76ers, what we know is that 8 teams get in, right? But all the way up until the 10 seed gets to play in a play-in tournament now. So imagine that if I have a fresh Joel Embiid and I have a fresh Paul George to play as an 8 seed, right? Good luck. Good luck. Like, you know what I mean? Because now I can jump as high as the 6, and I'm going to get in the playoffs. And that season is almost as long as the regular season, man. Like, so... Yeah, I'm with him. And what's going to... And the thing is like you had all these people in Philadelphia who paid all this money for the home opener. And they weren't able to see Paul George play. They weren't able to see Joel Embiid play. And they were pissed off. And they should be. But this is the model that the league has built. I wouldn't pay to go to a regular season game, would you? I certainly wouldn't. Like, I'm not paying... to go to a regular season game because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I'd rather save my money and go to a playoff game because then there's more of a chance that I'm going to see something that matters. I'm going to see stars play. But if you're asking me in November to buy tickets for a game in March, no idea what that team's going to look like in March. I have no idea who's going to be playing in March. I'm out. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. No, you're absolutely right. My concern, and I get what they're trying to do in order to preserve for a later run, what you're doing right now is you're giving the keys to Tyrese Maxey. Like, this is your car, this is your team, drive
it. Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Now, what happens when you introduce Joel Embiid and Paul George into the mix of a team that's confident and comfortable playing in the system where Tyrese Maxey's the guy? Now it becomes Aaron Rodgers. Fuck you, it's my team. Nah, dude, this is my team. You sat out for 3 months. See, like, you're creating conflict there.
I don't know if he's that kind of guy. I don't know if he's that kind of guy. Chris Paul's that kind of guy. But I don't know if Maxey's that kind of guy. I think a lot of the players on that team have bought into what they're trying to accomplish. I think there was a very serious meeting held where it's like, guys, like, we cannot be losing to the Knicks in the playoffs, man. Like, we cannot... be losing, you know, to B and C level teams. Like, we need to get to the championship. And how are we going to get to the championship? Like, Boston was healthy. You know, they got through. And they, again, we've talked about it. They played teams that were hurt. They played a Knicks team that was hurt. You know, the 76ers were hurt. Like, you know, they're... So, you know, I totally understand it. The NBA has put themselves in this position. And this stupid in-season tournament and this play-in tournament at the end of the season doesn't help anything. It doesn't help the situation. It doesn't help it. You know what you want to do? If you want to have this play-in tournament and you want to have this tip-off tournament, then go to 53 games or 41 games or 67 games and then put those things in. But to have 82 games and then have these tournaments and then have 8 teams get in, but then have the play-in from, you know, seeds 7 through 10. Dude, they're not built to be able to handle that. And when you think about your product, right? Think about a Victor Wembanyama. Like, look how big he is. You're going to tell me that when he's in his 10th season, you're going to want him playing all these games? Come on, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. He's a big dude. You're going to lose him.
No, completely. I mean, with the amount of basketball that these guys are going to play, because they all, for the most part, like a lot of them go to international duty as well. Like Wembanyama is going to play for France in the Olympics. Team USA is always an issue. You're playing more games, whether it's a FIBA World Cup, whether it's the Olympics, whether it's just some random ass friendly.
Yeah,
you're playing basketball. You're playing a lot more minutes than just what you're logging in the NBA.
Yeah, and there's the practicing, and there's the back-to-backs, there's the travel.
Yeah.
And because now, if I'm not mistaken, in the NBA, you play every team, I believe. Like, so your West Coast teams are playing all the teams on the East Coast, too. Like,
I think at least once.
Yeah, it's not even like you're just staying on the West Coast and keeping it simple. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the travel is it wears on people. So they're never going to do it, but they really should they should reduce the amount of games they have. And that's going to maximize the level of play for all of your players. Because now I have to play, you know? And I wouldn't, you know, I think what you could do is you can keep your play-in tournament. because that'll give other teams a chance to get in, but reduce the number of games, and it's just going to force people to play more.
I'm intrigued by what you said, though, like kind of an inverse of interleague play, and just make all the conference games, make your season an entirety of conference games. Yeah. I think that's very interesting. I think that's a wonderful idea, actually. That way, like, you really are going to see a fresh matchup in the finals, like, because the Celtics and the Lakers, for example, will have not played each other all year. So it's right. Like it puts a fresh coat of paint on things. And I think that if you're going to make it an interconference kind of thing, yeah, use the tournament for that. Like, you have to have a West Coast team versus an East Coast team, something like that. You know, an Eastern Conference team versus a Western Conference team.
Wouldn't that make that so much more exciting? Like, now it's like I got fresh players. They're playing a team they haven't played all season. And it's now we're mixing it up. Now we'll mix it up in the playoffs instead of saying, okay, there's an Eastern Conference and a Western Conference. You can have your play-in tournament decide, you know, what side of the ball the teams are going to play on. You know, it makes it – you got to mix it up. Like, this, but adding games?
No.
It's not going to do it.
No, that's not
it. It's not going to do it.
No, it's not going to do it at all. And all you're going to do is you're going to make guys like Joel Embiid and Paul George prioritize their health over basketball games, and they're going to actually play less. So your product is going to be – the star value is going to be devalued even more. Yeah. So, you know, it's – these are conversations that Adam Silver needs to have, and these are conversations that actually a lot of sports need to have.
Listen, I told this story a long time ago. When back, I think it was when the Warriors, they won the championship with Kevin Durant. The following season, they played against the Cavaliers. I think it was Martin Luther King Jr. weekend. I drove from New York to Cleveland to watch the game, and every single player played. Durant, Clay, LeBron, Dwayne Wade was even on that team.
Before his shitty statue.
Right. I would never, ever do that again. Ever. Because I don't know who's going to play. So I could be driving 6 to 7 hours to see the B team play. And that would make me so enraged. I drove through snow, through cold. It was brutal. And I would never, ever do that again because I don't know who's going to be there when I show up.
Yeah. That's the nature of the business right now, and it's something that they need to get a handle on. They're having difficulties legislating it, so they're going to have to go to the drawing board and figure it out. Major League Baseball is kind of having that issue too. Like, certain players Like, oh, they're down again. So, are you going to see him? Like, Mike Trout. Like, I would never go to an Angels game. I tried once. I went.
I hear the traffic is awful.
I happened to go. It was the last game of spring training. It was Dodgers Angels in Dodger Stadium. It was like February break. It was like right before they broke camp. I'm like, oh, cool. I'm going to get tickets. I'm going to go see Mike Trout. This is going to be fucking awesome. Mike Trout did not play. Because, yeah, it's like, this is going to be great. I mean, I saw Dodger Stadium. It's a beautiful place. I got to eat a Dodger dog, vastly overrated.
And but, survived.
Yeah, and, well, I walked through street. That's the thing about being a New Yorker, man. You walk anywhere, nobody's going to fuck with you.
Well, I mean, you survived the Dodger dog.
I did survive the Dodger dog. I did. Fenway Frank and Dodger dog. Nope. No, thank you. No, thank you. But the NBA, they got to go back to the drawing board. They got to figure out what's going on. And I think we're on to something. I think we need to go back. I think we need to take it back to like pre-interleague play. I think we need to make this fresh by making this a little bit more exclusive. Yeah, I'm not going to see the Phoenix Suns if I'm the Knicks. I'm not going to see Kevin Durant. I'm not going to see these guys. But hey, if they make the playoffs and we make the playoffs, shit, there's a possibility that I can see them in the finals. Like, that is exciting now. Like, rather than some just random ass ho-hum game that they may not play. If they sit out, if a basketball player who's not injured sits out a finals game, that's going to be a freaking problem. Like, that's going to be like, oh, nope, too bad, load management, uh-uh. Like, no, that might be the straw that breaks the camel's back. But right now, it's definitely a problem. And the only sport I can guarantee you that they're going to play when you show up is the NHL. Those fuckers, they got nine more. I think that's the slogan of the NHL. I got nine more. Tape it up. I got nine fingers. I got nine toes. I'm good. I got one eye. Let's play. I almost got my throat slit with by a skate. Stitch it up, coach. Let's go. So, best bang for your buck, the NHL. The other leagues need to get to where the NHL is, in my opinion.
Hey there, NFL football fans. This is the lovely Rita Sanchez, a.k.a. your Option Football champ for the 2023 NFL season. I'm inviting you to join us for the 2024 Option, where we pick the winning teams for each week's matchups and compete against each other to see whose picks reign supreme. Are you in? Head over to CBS Sports and search for the Option 2024 League, or hit the link in the bio on the Fade Route socials and join today. It's for free. Pick a witty name, some winning teams, and I'll see you out there for week one.
Fair or foul? Judging the more messed up stories of the week.
All right, boys and girls, we have a statement, and it's either fair or foul. Fair or foul, Blake Snell opting out of his deal with the San Francisco Giants.
Oh, completely fair. Completely fair. My man wants to get paid. And now I think he has a real good chance, because I think a team like the Yankees, I think the team like a Mets, I even think a team like the Braves, they're all in play now, because they realize that they need a third or a second strong starter. So I think it was a wise move by him. There was no chance that he was just going to stick with the Giants under that contract. And he deserves it. It's his time to get paid. And he didn't have a great season. He had a Blake Snell season. This is what Blake Snell is. And I think someone's going to pay him.
I think, it's also fair. Like, he has definitely rebuilt up his value a little bit. And I think that Scott Boras' clients in general are going to overcorrect, and they're going to sign very quickly. Because we have three cases last year. of signing way too late with varying degrees of success. Snell got hurt, and he was ass before he got hurt. He had an ERA of 9. Then he got hurt, and magically he's back to normal. So he's definitely going to get paid again. Now, San Francisco is probably not contending, so I don't think he'll be going back there. Now, could he end up with the Dodgers? I mean, shit, everybody could end up with the Dodgers, theoretically. Theoretically, the Giants can sign, or the Dodgers can sign every fucking guy under the sun. Because that deferred money, that deferred money is something that Major League Baseball needs to look at. So, you know, I'm not accusing them of anything. I'm just saying, like, that's definitely an enticement that only the Dodgers are using. So, at least right now. He could end up with the Yankees. He can end up with the Orioles. The Orioles need a starting pitcher. Burns is probably gone. The Mets. If the Mets don't get Burns, they can go in on Snell. Like, he's gone.
Snell.
5-3, 3.12. And it's nothing to sneeze at. Like, it was pretty solid considering where he was. His ERA dropped 6 points. Right? So that's pretty darn good. And he's a lefty. You know? You want to talk about lefties? Jordan Montgomery. Here's another lefty. Complete meltdown. Completely devalued himself after the success he had with the Cardinals and Rangers. And he's there for one more year. Because they picked up the option. So the owner, Mr. Kendrick, saying, like, oh, this is the worst free agent signing we've ever made. Let's double down on that and keep him. So there's that too. Like, Montgomery, same issue, got into camp late, ramped up late. And then Arizona, probably not the best ballpark for him because the balls were flying out left and right. And speaking of the balls flying out left and right, you had JD Martinez, who signed 5 days before the Mets broke camp. How are you supposed to be ready? Like, there's in shape and then there's baseball shape. None of these guys were in baseball shape. And that's kind of important. That's why spring training is important. And we've learned that. But I got to figure JD Martinez is gone too. Like, I figure that he already said he's going to play pickleball until somebody gives him a serious offer. So you're going to figure me in. If you figure me in, I'll come play for you. If not, I'm cool playing pickleball. Good for him. But there's going to be an overcorrection this year, and you have a lot of Scott Boras clients available, right? You have Pete, you have Kikuchi, I think you have Bregman, you have a bunch of high-profile players that are going to be available. And we're definitely going to see where that goes, but Snell opting out is the right move for him. Signing early and making sure that he's ready to go will be the right move for him. And it's just a question of, as with everybody, years and dollars. Because you pay for mediocrity for the most part, and then you have two really good seasons, and then he convinces you that he's a great pitcher. You're kind of hovering around 500, and then boom, 21-5. Then you're hovering around 500 again, and then boom, 14-9. You're AJ Burnett, dude. AJ Burnett got paid. AJ Burnett did get paid, but that's who he was. He was the guy that you knew.
He won a World Series, didn't he?
He did. He won 2009 World Series with the Yankees. Like, you knew what you were getting with AJ Burnett. You were getting one good year, and then hang on for dear life. If he markets himself as this generation's AJ Burnett, he'll get paid. Blake Snell will absolutely get paid. So it's absolutely fair of him, and there's going to be plenty of teams in bidding for his services. But at this point, first blush, where do you think he ends up?
I'm going to go with Baltimore.
Solid pick.
Because they lost Burns, so they're going to look to replace him.
Yeah, I think Burns ends up with the Mets. I think it's a no doubt about her that he's a Milwaukee guy going to David Stearns. Like, he's going back home in a way. I think he's from the Pacific Northwest. I could see him going to Seattle. I could see Jerry DePoto throwing down buku bucks, because this is what Jerry DePoto does. he signs players that don't necessarily fit in with the organization. We have a lot of really great young starting pitchers. Let me bring in Blake Snell. Let's do that. So, in all seriousness, though, it's the Dodgers. It's the Dodgers. Like, the dude's going to get paid. If you want to get paid, there you go. That may very well be the consolation prize if they do get outbid for Juan Soto. But yeah, Blake Snell definitely going to try out that Dodger blue next year.
One more fair or foul for you. Fair or foul, Colt benching Richardson for Flacco. Fair or foul?
Oh, absolutely fair. Absolutely fair. Anthony Richardson.
He was 2-for-15 at one point.
No, absolutely, dude. At some point, Anthony Richardson will be a good quarterback. He's not there yet. How many games did he play last year? 4, I'm pretty sure, before he got hurt. And then Minshew took over.
Come out. I'm tired. I'm fucking exhausted.
You're tired because you're not getting any reps, dude. You're
the third quarter. We're playing a divisional team. I don't care, man. I'm fucking shot.
Coach, I need a fucking nap. I need a nap and a 5-hour energy. Like, give me some of that. But
he's one of the big guys that are on. He's on weed. You know, maybe he's smoking a little too much. Maybe that's another. You know, nobody's talking about that. But he's one of the guys that's a big proponent of the weed. And you know what? That might be slowing him down.
I don't know. I really don't know, because it's certainly not a performance enhancing drug. It's definitely when Josh Gordon, like, he's the primary example, right? Like, he's the guy that everybody talks about. It was for pain. Like, he was using it as an analgesic for pain, as a pain med, not necessarily, you know, for the recreational purposes. So maybe there's something going on there. Now, he did have surgery last year. He had, I think, a broken collarbone, if I remember correctly. And he had surgery. And now who's to say that he's still not kind of feeling that a little bit? But the kid's got the arm talent. He's got the size. He's got everything you're looking for, right? You know, Jim Irsay was like, this guy's fucking Cam Newton. This is my Cam Newton. And I'm not going to miss the opportunity to take him. He's only played 6 games in his career. Only 6. So he will get another shot. It's not like Bryce Young, who's only out there because Andy Dalton has a broken thumb. So, yeah. So he got hurt in a car accident. So, you know, is what it is. But, like, that, you know, they're going nowhere fast. The Colts have playoff aspirations. They're in it right now. They're in the thick of it. So you go with the guy. You go with Joe Flacco. He's been there. He's done that. He did it last year. Mr. Comeback Player of the Year. That's him. That's who Joe Flacco is at this point. So give Richardson some time. Let him get his reps in. Eventually, he's going to have to play. Clearly, he's not there right now, whether it's mentally or it's physically. But in this moment, he is not ready. So you go to the guy who is ready.
Yeah, I thought it was fair, too. I mean, like, 2-for-15, and you're just missing guys, man. You're missing reads. You're missing guys. You're not in shape. And it's let the pro do it. You know, Flacco's a thrower, man. He can throw. And he understands the offense, and he's not going to win a Super Bowl for you, but you're going to compete. And with Richardson, you're just not competing.
No. You're looking at, for his career, now his career has only been 10 games. You're doing 109 completions for 200 out of 217 attempts, 50%, 50.2%, 7 touchdowns, 8 picks.
Solid.
Been sacked 16 times. So there's still a work in progress with the Colts. Now, if they're trying to get him to be a pocket passer, then it ain't working. So it's interesting because the guys that replaced Anthony Richardson immediately saw improvement, right? Minshew, he's a scrambler, but he can throw. He can absolutely throw from the pocket. His problem is that he's on shit teams a lot. He's like Ryan Fitzpatrick. And then you have Flacco. There's no doubt about Joe Flacco can throw the ball. Like, Joe Flacco's got a cannon. Even at 82 years old, we can wheel him out in his rascal and say, Joe, throw it, and he'll probably be able to sling it. That's what Joe Flacco does. So it may just be that it's the offense isn't right. It's not really suited for him. Like, there's some tweaks that need to be made. But Shane Steichen knows what he's doing. The organization seems to be trending in the right direction. They have pieces for him. A little bit of maturity, a little bit more reps, and I think he'll be fine. But in a playoff situation where you have an opportunity to get in this thing, I think you have to go with old man Joe.
Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much with FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their graphic tees, hoodies, snapbacks, accessories, and more. Go to fckclout.com today and check out current season and past season merchandise for men and women. Get it while you can. That's fckclout.com. Check them out today. fckclout.com. Who's the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our X account at FadeRouteDNZ and our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast, and you vote. And you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner of said vote gets a shout out on this here show and takes home the coveted ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted ass trophy last week?
I don't.
Neither do I. Give me one second. looking. So we are very, very active on our X account. At FadeRouteDNZ. And you should follow us because it's good stuff, people. It's really good stuff. Good thing this isn't live. Ain't nothing like it. Aha.
Aha.
I found it. Aaron Rodgers. Oh, Aaron. Throwing your coach and team under the bus. Stubbornly thinking it was Green Bay from 4 years ago, bringing in your boy Devontae Adams, and he's not really paying dividends until this week. And even then, still really not paying that many dividends yet. Announcing the trade from your house with your boy there. Just bad look. Dude, it's a complete bad look all the way around. Yeah, but, you know, that's on par. I think he's a 3-time winner at this point. So congratulations, Aaron. But that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Legend Superstar of the Week, D?
All right. So first up, I've got quarterback Anthony Richardson from the Indianapolis Colts. In the third quarter against the Houston Texans, you told your coach you were tired after going 10 for 32 with a touchdown and an interception. Guy, you got to fight through that. You've got to toughen it out. You know, everyone's counting on you here. So Anthony Richardson, you are my Legend Superstar of the Week. Number two, I've got Garrett Cole. Get over, dude. Get over. When you're a pitcher and you're taught in Little League, when the balls hit the first base, you gotta cover the base. Regardless of Anthony Rizzo's got it or not, you still gotta make the effort to get over there. So I'm gonna say, Garrett Cole, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. And last but not least, I'm going with the offensive line for the Houston Texans. Playing against the Jets on Thursday night, you gave up 8 sacks. Good Lord, man. You had CJ Stroud running for his life. Houston Texans offensive line, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. What do you got, Z?
I mean, you can't really argue with any of those. You really can't at all. I'm going to start with the Miami Heat. And here's why. The Miami Heat unveiled a statue of Dwayne Wade, and there's inherently nothing wrong with that. The problem is, And here's where the problem is. The statue looked nothing like Dwayne Wade. What the hell is wrong with these companies? It's like, maybe we shouldn't be doing statues anymore. It looked kind of reminiscent of Emmett Smith. I saw Emmett Smith. And some people saw the trainer from Rocky III. Carl Weathers. There were no Dwayne Wade. In no place. I'm glad Dwayne Wade had some fun with it. And the internet had some fun with it. The internet remains undefeated. Gabrielle Union and Dwayne Wade recently had an anniversary. And they were talking about... They were posting that. And instead of using a picture with Gabrielle and Dwayne, they used the statue. So, hey, you know what? Poke a little fun. That's fine. But the Miami Heat... You have to see these proofs before you sign off on them, right? Like, you have to probably say, hey, this doesn't look like Dwayne. He's probably going to be pissed. I'm just throwing that out there. Maybe, just maybe, like, we look at these things before we go to production with them. Miami Heat, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two. And this is a bad one. This is a really bad one. Bears defensive back Tyreek Stevenson. You have the lead. Your team has the lead. And the Commies have the ball. They have to come down and somehow engineer a miracle drive. They're in position for a Hail Mary. Instead of being in position, because you are playing deep, right? You're there to knock down any potential Jaden Daniels passes. You're looking at the fans and taunting the fans. What the fuck are you doing? And they snap the ball. Oh, shit. I got to run. I got to sprint over and get in position. I'm on my horse, coach. I got it. I tip it right into the hands of Noah Brown. My tip, just the tip, was all it needed. That's all you needed. Commies win. Bears lose. Ugh. Heartbreaking. Absolutely heartbreaking. But to his credit, he did own up and apologize. But Tyreek Stevenson, what's done is done. We put up a poll. We put up another one on our X account. We called it, we asked what we should call this for posterity. Noah's Ark is what we came up with. I like that. I like that. Forever, that play will be known as Noah's Ark. But Tyreek Stevenson, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And number three, I gotta go with the Yankees. The Yankees is a team. Ugh. Absolutely brutal. Absolutely brutal. The Dodgers exposed the Yankees. They couldn't run well. Their bullpen was leaky. Their starting pitching was meh. Like, Luis Gil pitched great. Good for him, Luis Gil. Clark Schmidt, we can argue whether or not he got pulled too soon. Cole was dominant in game one. But then, inevitably, they lose on a walk-off grand slam. Nestor Cortez is in. Pulling a Kodai Senga. Coach, I haven't pitched in a month. Let's go. Couldn't field. Couldn't hit in the clutch. Aaron Judge finally hit a home run. Nice. Couldn't string hits together. Questionable managing. And looked overmatched and outclassed in every way. Back to the drawing board we go. New York Yankees, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our X account at FadeRouteDNZ. Go to our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast and vote and vote and vote and vote. And for our nominees.
You're better than that. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been the Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week. Hey,
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.